Sfirat HaOmer. We have just begun the counting of the 50 days. As we said before, it's one of those kind of lost festivals hidden away in the middle of Pesach and Matzah. Of course, as you know, those two festivals in themselves are two festivals. Pesach is actually just a one-day festival. 6 further days of Matzot is a separate festival. And this evening with the first fruits, a third. All intertwined with each other. And of course, in our days, most times now, we'd be talking about Pesach. All this is lumped into one, the whole of the 7 days, all put together without it being broken down. But the detail is there. And it's important for us to understand. If you go back into biblical times, a field was chosen before Pesach had begun. And after that first day, after the Seder and completed, and that first day was coming to an end, the priests would go into that field and they would take a corner of it and they would scythe it, cut it down, take it into the temple. This sheaf of barley was the very first offering that was made of this new harvest, the new crop, presented in the temple by the priests. Lifted up and waved to the 4 compass points. One of those offerings which, interestingly, in Judaism, is meant to reflect and meant to touch in some way the whole of the earth, not just our people, not just our nation, not just Israel in that sense. Because the way this is waved, clearly there was an understanding in this that what was happening on this night was meant to impact the world, not just us. So the priest waved this offering. And because it was waved to the Lord in this way and was accepted because it was done in the prescribed way that we have in the scriptures, it effectively at that point becomes a tithe of that whole crop. Just as we tithe our finances to the Lord and our finances then become all dedicated, we tithe our lives to the Lord and our lives become dedicated. This crop was dedicated in this way. That this first bit that became holy meant all of it was holy and therefore was able to be eaten by Israel. Everything we eat, everything we take in a sense is a sacrifice because God has given it to us in this way. Fascinating as we've just been reading, Yeshua then becomes the first fruits of Israel, our nation. The first fruits of the resurrection, the first fruits of our nation, the first fruits of Israel's salvation and revival. Because Yeshua was waved in his way before the Father, as the scriptures say, and waved to the compass point. We know his salvation, his sacrifice that he brought was not just for Israel, it was for all the nations. It's an awesome concept. And if you apply this kind of tithe idea to this, the fact that Yeshua was accepted in this way means that the whole is accepted. At this point, as Yeshua is being waved, he becomes Israel before our eyes, representative of every single one. And if he's waved, he is accepted. If he is the first fruits, then Israel will be accepted too. The rest of the field, effectively, in that picture that we've been talking about it. That first fruit's acceptance means the whole lot becomes accepted. That's why, of course, we know that Rav Shaul makes this audacious claim. All Israel will be saved. The field, the harvest, will come in. Our nation will be saved because Yeshua was accepted. We also will have his salvation. All those who would respond, not just our people, each and every one should be made holy. And the harvest, the barley, how are we going to connect? Yeshua made a very interesting comment about the harvest and the crops and the agricultural things. We've got to somehow connect this with this basic agricultural principle. Yeshua said this, I'm going to read it to you. Fascinating comment, so powerful for us during this season of the first fruits. Yeshua said, this is in Yochanan 12, beginning in 23. Yeshua answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. It's an astonishing statement so shortly before Yeshua's death and resurrection, predicting, of course, his own physical death at this time. Yeshua as a seed that will fall into the ground, and this thought that is there is really powerful about his sacrificial death. But so many people misunderstand what this is all about. Understood because the enemy, frankly, completely failed to detect in all of this what was actually going on. You see, I can imagine for a moment when Yeshua willingly is taking that stake upon himself and is walking through the streets. You can just imagine how Satan thinking, got you. You're the Son of God? What is this? You're weak, you're powerless, you're doing nothing. And the enemy did not understand the kingdom of God. And Yeshua told us ahead of time, this is the way the kingdom works. This is how it functions. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bring more life and fruit. The enemy just thinks life is what human beings want to keep hold of, playing on our fears and our worries and everything else. The path to real life involves, according to Yeshua, surrendering self. And the human view, the opposite of the kingdom, is seen as the most important thing to cling on to life. The most important thing, just to stay alive. Stay alive, do what you want, do what you must to stay alive. Yeshua took the opposite view. The kingdom takes the opposite view. Why is it so important? Because our lives belong to Him. Our lives belong to Him. People, our lives are not ours. We inhabit these bodies for these few years which the Lord gives us. Our lives are not ours. Remember we said this morning, Yeshua paid the price. He purchased us. When we met Yeshua face to face, we died. We die. The scriptures are quite clear about this. The moment you accept Yeshua, you pass from judgment to life. At that point, the very life force that is in you, the nefesh of our bodies, the breath of God in us, is what is keeping us alive. The ruach in us right now is keeping us alive. You are no longer being judged by God. You've passed from judgment. That happened. The people who don't know Yeshua, the people who do not know God, when they die and their spirit is removed from their body, they face the judgment at that point. We've already faced it. We've already been there. That day you met Yeshua, each and every one of us in the room, the day that we met Yeshua face to face, and Yeshua said to you, you deserve death. You are a sinner, you deserve death. Each and every one of us, and we said, yes, that is true. Lord God, have mercy. Please give me Yeshua's life. And our Father said, yes, for this purpose, for this reason, I sent my Son. That life would be yours. But you know, He bought us, He purchased us, He paid the price, He ransomed us for Himself. And the meaning of that is quite clear. Our lives no longer belong to us. And you may get up in the morning and you think, what should I do today? I'll go to Sainsbury's. You've got a feeling there that maybe, you know, you've got a control of your life. Fundamentally, your life belongs to the Lord now. And you know those moments in our life when the Lord breaks through and says, you're not doing Sainsbury's today, you're going to go to Morrison's. And you go, well, Morrison's? Really, Lord? You know, and it's that moment of surprise. You're thinking, what? You want me to do what? Why are we surprised? You know? What is this? The surprise tells us that we're not actually expecting the Lord to be in control of our lives. And then you get to Morrison's, and what happens? You find there's a Jewish person on the checkout, and they're looking at your keeper on your head, and they're going, oh, you're Jewish. And you go, yeah. Oh, I go to this synagogue. You strike up a conversation, and lo and behold, 20 minutes later, you've led them to the Lord. And one of our people is saying, you never would have gone to Morrison's if you stuck to the plan A. But our lives don't belong to us. We paid the price. Unless that grain falls into the ground and dies, that has consequences for us. It had consequences for Yeshua. He knew the very act of his life was to bring salvation, and there was no shortcut. It meant going through his death. He was born for this. And we know even at the end, Yeshua was wobbling and he said, "Lord, please, if this cup could be taken from me, please take this cup." And our Father says, no, there is no other way. You were born to do this. This is why you are here on earth. Our lives belong to him. Oh, we don't want to suffer. We don't want this. We don't want that. We don't want the other. But you know what? Whatever we find ourselves in our lives, whatever situations that we find ourselves in, we need to hold on to the fact, my life right now is not mine. It belongs to the Lord. Our God has the right to do whatever he wants in us and through us. He sacrificed his son for us. And are we really going to turn round to our God and say, you know what, that's fine on one level, but I'd rather do this? What attitude, what approach to Adonai is this that we're quibbling over what he does with our lives? What we have now is so much better, will be so much better than ever we ever had before. And yet, we still fight against the windmills, as it were. We fight him day after day. And so that gratitude of service that we're willing to give to him, that daily walk that says, today, Lord, today I will die to self. Today I will surrender to you. When you wake up first thing in the morning and you're doing your Shacharit prayers, and you're saying all your daily prayers, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, in part of that, think, Lord, today, Lord, I belong to you today. Lord, do with what you want in me today. I am here, your servant. Use me today. Surrender to him. Surrender to him in the morning. You might be surprised by the evening what he's done with you. Truly surrender to him. We want to hold on to things. We want them to make us feel more secure or good. Whatever the motive may be in all of this, the things that we cling onto, I tell you, the things we cling onto are not good for us. They will drag us down. The things we consider to be essential, the things that we want, our comfort zones, our comfort blankets, you know, name it whatever you want. You know them. We've got them. We have all got them. The one thing that you really, 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 really couldn't get hold of or let go of. You know, we always used to joke when I was younger. We always used to tell people not to pray, please, or please don't send me to Bradford. You know, we used to pray, don't pray those prayers. The moment those words are out your mouth, we used to laugh, the Lord's heard it, and guess where he'll send you? Huh? Bradford. Huh? Joking aside, this is about sovereignty. This is about who rules our lives. He will send you where he wants you to go. People come to a doubt, you're sure, because the Lord sends them. It's a fact. You know, one of the things that we have never really seriously done is to go out and try and coerce people to walk through our doors. People often said to us, why aren't you out there doing this? And we said, you know, the Lord knows who is his. The Lord knows who he will bring. We trust in the Lord. Look at where we are now. We've trusted, and each one the Lord brings is the right one, the right time, in the right place, whatever situation. We have trusted God to bring and call the people that he's bringing in, whether to be born again or coming in from somewhere else. Our heart has always been, Lord, you are in charge of it, aren't you sure? You're in charge of this community. This community is not run by the leadership team. It's run by the Ruach HaKodesh. It's run by the Lord himself. What we do as leaders is try to listen and focus and tune in to what the Lord is saying that we should be doing. Because we know this doesn't belong to us. Our lives don't belong to us in that way. And yet we continue to hang on. We want to preserve what we've got. But actually, what is our security in this world? Our security has a name. Yeshua. It's true. Nothing else is security. You know, if nothing else is security, Yeshua is our security in this world. Whatever else we build around us, the defensive barriers, the walls, whatever, we all build them. We try and keep people out. We don't want to let them in. Letting people in is pain, Lord. No, I want to put another brick on top of that wall. Doesn't matter how much you build, how secure you're going to feel with whatever you're doing in your life, where you think that security is, I tell you, unless you knock it down and surrender to the Lord, you will not be secure. Security comes by trusting in Him alone. Put that external shell of the flesh to death. Release those inner heart values of faith and work and the work of the Spirit. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. We want to keep hold of it. We clench our fists and we will not, do not want to let go. But the scriptures are absolutely clear on all of this. As Yeshua said, that seed falls into the ground and dies. It doesn't seem normal. It doesn't seem rational. Why is it that something would die in that way and yet goes on to produce so much more fruit? Humanly speaking, this is illogical. Humanly speaking, you'd think, no, you want more. You don't die. You keep alive and propagate and do this and do that. And the kingdom comes back and says, the way to fruitfulness is to surrender yourself. Die to self. That self has to go. The ego has to go. Your plans have to go. Your schedules have to go. And these things in themselves aren't necessarily wrong. You know, we know sometimes it's good to have a schedule. I've got a diary upstairs. I run a diary. I'm not saying these things in themselves are wrong. But if we begin to dictate the terms to the Lord, then we are showing Him that we have not surrendered our life. Our diary should be so flexible if the Lord says, but now you're doing this, that we're able to literally get up and begin to do this. I know that's a challenge. But otherwise our diary becomes an idol. Our diaries begin to control us. We then begin to control our lives. We follow our idol. We lose our focus, our eyes diverted from our eternal calling. Our eyes grow dim. And we need to be open to the Lord. If we die to self, if we are willing, as Yeshua said, to surrender our lives, then that means one thing. That means that we become vulnerable. It means in the world's view and eyes of all of this, we become weak. We all see these weaknesses and vulnerabilities, we see them as faults, but actually in the kingdom of God, they are our strength. We've said this 100 times before, but I want to declare it one more time. Being broken is healthy. Being ready to change your life. To be broken by the Lord. To give up those human ambitions, the dreams if need be. To surrender to Him and say, Lord, enough of me, more of you right now. The reality is, I think for most of us, if we're honest, is that we're pedaling hard just below the waterline. We know our vulnerabilities, we know our weaknesses. But in all of this, whoever we look at, whether you're looking at me thinking, isn't the rabbi wonderful, he's strong, this, that and the other, you're not looking into my life. We're vulnerable before God. But you know what? I'm standing here. Because being vulnerable is strong. Being willing to surrender to self. Being willing to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what happens this day, but I know that you know and you are in charge. You are in control of my day today. We have a message of hope. A message of hope because in the resurrection we have eternal hope that in Him all things will plan out. His plan, not our plan. His plan. That's our hope. And you may get to the end of the day and you may think that was not how I planned my day, that was not meant to be that way, that was not what I was thinking it was going to be. But in Him, it is good. But are you willing to let go? That plan will only be realized if you let go of yours. You'll only see it if that seed falls into the ground and dies. That sacrifice of self, that sacrifice of the ego, you've got to let it go. You've got to let yourself go in the Lord. And trust in what He's doing for you. If you surrender to Yeshua in His way, you will see the renewing power touch your life. If you want to bring forth good fruit and better fruit, the answer is to begin to surrender to God. Surrender to Him. Don't argue with Him. Don't say, but I want this, I want it this way, I want it that way. That's not quite what I'm thinking. Listen to what God says. If He's saying to you, this is what I want you to do, then do it. Because there's fruit at the end of it. Good fruit. Lasting fruit, because it's changing you day by day closer into the image of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Father God, we just resist you. We always have resisted you, and we don't want to change. Father, our lives, our very hearts seek the status quo day after day. Father, I want to pray that you will make us vulnerable. I pray that, Lord, you will show us what it means to be vulnerable and weak in you, to be strong in you, to be weak in ourselves, to acknowledge that, Lord God, to know that our life is not ours. Father, Lord God, we've been exposed in that place. We feel exposed and vulnerable because we don't know what you'll do next. Father, I pray, let us surrender to you. Surrender our schedules, surrender our diaries, surrender our structures in our lives. Lord, if we're holding on to things, if we're control freaks, if we're organizing and everything else that we want to do, Father, I pray, just break through that, Lord God, and show us how to surrender to you. Lord, we want to see that good fruit in our lives. And Lord, forgive us for holding back and not following your pattern and being willing to lay down our lives that we would gain it. That we wouldn't love our life so much that we would lose it, but to surrender it to you and gain it 100-fold. Amen. Amen.